Satsang with Maitreya, February 1st, 2003.
Good morning, everybody. This is Maitreya from the Mission Maitreya. Welcome to our cyber church and the Satsang room. As usual, we will look into God's revelation and how He has revealed the whole truth to humanity. For the last 12,000 years, this revelation has been a mystery for man, and each religion of the world have been revealed to humanity as one major religion of the world, and now the whole truth has been revealed to humanity, and the mystery of God has finished. We can see that the fulfillment of God's revelation and plan is unfolding right in front of our eyes. And if we look at the news and what's happening in the world, we can see how terrible things is coming to humanity faster and faster. And pretty soon, the whole humanity will realize that they have no choice but to take a new path, a new way, a new heaven and the earth. That is the way of God. He has been trying to guide humanity from the foundation of the creation of man, and man refusing and resisting His will all along to this point. And now, the last 1,000 years, He has revealed this truth and again has given humanity a chance to recognize it, realize it, that God is one. He has sent all this revelation. There is no separation between religions and human. There is not many gods. There is only one God, and He is or she is or it is everything. There is nowhere, nothing that you can look at which is not God. Therefore, how can you separate yourself from any other part of the world or the universe? How can you say, well, this part is better and that part is not good? This religion is better, that religion is not. This is from God, the other one is not from God. Unless there are many gods that reveal many religions. All religions have to have a relationship with each other. Now, what is that? Why then we have so many religions? Why we have Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism? What is that God is being trying to convey? All these religions are different. Are they really revealed with different gods? No, all of them say, no, only there is one God. But my religion is better than yours. How can that happen? If there is only one God, and my religion and your religion have come from God, how can they be different? And we can see now, it clearly reveals that, yes, actually, all those religions have been revealed and sent by God, and each of them have a specific message. Of course, there's a lot of similarity between all of them, but one message stands very clearly in each religion. And that message is revealed in this mission to humanity, and when you understand the whole message, it reveals a path, a way that you follow. It's called eternal divine path. It's called eternal because it was understood in eternity, and it's divine because it leads to divinity, and it is a path. It is the way you walk. You know, it's not dogmatic. If you believe in such and such a name and a couple of dogmas, you're going to go to heaven. No, you watch it. You follow this path. If you really follow this path, then your salvation is guaranteed. Therefore, this mission doesn't have any dogma. It has a path for you to follow. Now, God is revealing and fulfilling the last marathon or the last part of His plan. With this revelation, which is prophesied to come in chapter 5 of the revelation. The book that's sealed with the seven seals is opened. Therefore, the seven angels have come. That is when the last revelation of God comes. That is when the plan is finished. It is done. When the seventh angel comes, then the book sealed with the seven seal is opened. Therefore, all the prophecies, all the prophets, all the revelation before this has already come. And it is done. So we are at the point in the revelation that now is the time for the coming of the kingdom of God on earth. And of course, before the kingdom comes, we're going to have the day of the reckoning and the terrible tribulation that humanity is heading into it very, very fast. Of course, if all humans listen to us today and come and say, yes, this is true, this is from God, this is the opening of the seven seals, we understand that, yes, you know, awakening of your spiritual forces and meditation and understanding yourself and know thyself is the beginning of the spiritual progress in the path of eternal divine path. Oh yes, we need an environment that we can accomplish that in such an environment that it is godly, it's based on God and His laws and His, you know, environment. So we can sit and meditate and awaken our spiritual forces. Yes, in order to create such an environment, sacrifice is necessary. Everybody says, what is this new for me, for me, and I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to continue the way I was. I'm not going to progress. I'm not going to listen to you. You know, I'm going to, I like your teaching, but I'm not going to do what you said. This is not going to work. So you have to sacrifice. You say, okay, I'm going to give up all my ego and let God come, you know, more and more in me, and therefore I become more the child of God. And then, of course, surrender and submit the resolve to God and become a universalist. So, surrender the resolve is that I do all this thing in the mission or in the God's work, but I'm not attached to the resolve. Okay? Or I am just a channel. I'm just pure channel for God. I'm not the doer. I'm the doer. I'm just absorbing everything happening, you know, in my life and everything in the mission and in everything I do. And I just absorb this thing happening, but I'm not really connected to them or attached to them or get involved with them. If God's coming through me, and if God's coming really through, He does a perfect job. Of course, greater than that submission means God is doing it through me all the time. You know, therefore, if He is the doer, who am I to be attached to the resolve? And you become universalist. You realize God is one. God is everything. Therefore, how can I separate myself from any other part of the universe? How can I say, oh, these people are good, these people are bad, these people are, you know, not civilized, these people are more civilized, I want to be these people, I don't know, or this religion or that religion? You cannot do that. That is the final step. And such a people, of course, become the elect, the people that we are looking for. Okay? So this is the path that is revealed to humanity now, and those who have been meditating, who have been in foundation of founding the mystical path, those who have been with the Nova in the beginning, those who have founded the Jewish religion or a second seal, those who have been with Christ, those who have been with Muhammad, those who have been with Bob, now are reincarnated again on earth and are on earth, and every day we can see in the mission more and more people are joining us. So that 2 weeks we had 2 new contacts that joined us to reach our world and bring the humanity closer to this revelation. One from Africa and one from Pakistan. Actually I asked the person from Pakistan, is that okay? You're in a Muslim country, you're preaching this teaching. Apparently it was okay. He said, it's okay. You know, we can go ahead and put his name in the website and all that. So we can see that more and more people are becoming aware of this mission. Of course, we have to reach in a greater degree to humanity. And probably it's a good idea going to different radio and television or anything we can use to get this message to humanity in a greater degree, so humanity knows, yes, there is a revelation that unifies all the humanity and religion together. And that is, each of you who are interested in the mission can do too. Become a contact person wherever you are. Because we just lost two contacts, because both of them came to the mission. You know, we used to have one in Kansas and one in, you know, Georgia, you know, but those people came and joined the mission here in Albuquerque, so we don't have them anymore, but I'm hoping that some people that you left behind, maybe they can eventually, you know, replace, you know, with what we lost. Anyway, it's just the matter of reaching to humanity more and more, and clearly explaining this teaching that has come from God and how all the religions have come from God and bring them together. And those who come and join this mission and realize that this world is in the brink of destruction and they will not become involved in this coming destruction, they become universalists, they join together, create the commons of life, create places that they can flourish this teaching and become one. After this tribulation and destruction, they are the people who will survive, those are the people who will create a new earth and new heaven on earth, and they will create the kingdom of heaven on earth. Human has no choice. It's very simple as that. You know, they have to realize there is only one God, one humanity, and they have to come together under that one God, which is everything. So, you can see the whole plan is coming together now, and if you're even a little sensitive and just look and listen to the news a little bit, you will see that this is the truth that this mission is revealing to humanity. And there is no other one, there is no other revelation, there is no other teaching, there is nothing out there is as perfect, as complete, as foretold to come as this revelation. That is why we are asking those who have been called for it, go to our website, come and ask questions, send us questions they have, and eventually recognize and realize, yes, what we say is the truth. Now, how this revelation unifies all religions of the world? How can we say that all religion came from God when other people also try to do the same thing, but they are not succeeding? But there are other many, many religions or groups that they also say all religions of the world are the same. The difference is, in this revelation, God reveals how each religion has a specific message for humanity. The oldest religions of the world, of course, are Hinduism, and also a lot of past, like African teaching or shaman in many different places, and in Australia, the Bushmen and all that. This is what everything is God. God is everything. You can find in the tree, in the animal they kill. Actually, they apologize to the animal they kill because, you know, they realize that has a spirit of God in it, and they tell the animal that, yes, I killed you because my family is hungry, I have to eat, so that I have no choice, please forgive me, but you know, I have to kill you. So that's what they do. So they realize that kinship with the rest of the universe. And these all are the mystical paths. We also find that in other religions, in Judaism it's called Kabbalah. And the Kabbalists teach how you, by knowing yourself, you know God in a deeper level. In Christianity there are saints that they meditate and they recognize God and realize God in themselves. In Islam it's called Sufis, and in every other religion also they have something similar that has the same kind of a connotation. These are called the mystical path. So the first step that God reveals to humanity is how to know thyself. Even in Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You know, and know thyself, that is very famous in every culture almost, know thyself to know God. You know? And even in some cultures, the self has the same name as God. So the Atman, which is yourself, is the same as Atman, which is God. So the first step in Kataladi One path is awakening your spiritual purpose. That is what is revealed in every religion and mystical path. So when you awaken your spiritual purpose, you start to know yourself. Okay, of course, there's many ways to do that. Some people have been meditating for many, many lifetimes. So in this lifetime, they easily start knowing themselves, contemplating who they are. They ask, where am I from, where am I going? And therefore, they start knowing themselves. And that is the first step in the eternal divine path. Now, you know yourself. Is that the goal of life? To merge with God and know thyself, and that's it. That is then God reveals the second step of the eternal divine path in the Old Testament. In Old Testament, the whole theme of the Old Testament is God is trying to find a people as the chosen people, and they will follow Him, and they will follow His laws, and bring Him to their community, and bring the kingdom of God to themselves. And those Hebrews. Hebrews are the chosen people by God. But what does Hebrew mean? What Israelite means? Means children of light. Okay? It's not a race, it's not a specific people. Anybody who follows the eternal divine path will become an Israelite, an elect, a child of God. Therefore, those people have chosen in the Old Testament, they have to realize that it really means what the chosen person means. And then they accept God as such, that community, that people become a community of light. That is when they bring God as their leader, and not only they awaken their resources, they meditate, but also they create the environment that is conducive for every person in that community to be able to meditate, and every person in the community helps to create such an environment and give up themselves into it without any expectation or attachment to the result of their action. Now, how can we create such a community? You have to sacrifice. You have to give up of yourself. You have to give up your ego as much as you can. And if you can give up all your ego, great. Then you are absolutely become a child of God and become the part of the comings of life. Therefore, the next step has been the Christ. Christ brought the concept of sacrifice. He overcame his own selfish tendencies for helping other humans to become in a greater degree egoless, okay, or sacrificing. And that's what the symbol of Christianity is. Christianity is to overcome the lower nature, the third chapter. That is why the symbol of Christ is the three. The number three is so prominent in Christianity. Three falls, 3 days, 3 temptations. In one feast, you know, everybody counted how many trees in Christianity. They found what, 15, 20 of them? That many of three is in religion. So he is the symbol of the first 3 chakras, and that's why it's so celebrated. Because overcoming your ego, overcoming your lower nature, is the great struggle for every person in human life, to overcome the 3 first chakras, okay, the tendency of physiological needs, physiological safety needs, the first chakra, passion, the second chakra, power, the third chakra. If you overcome these 3, then you go to the 4th chakra, which is unconditional love and overcoming of every tendency in the lower nature. And how many people are in the physiological and safety need? They're afraid of what happens, what my next meal comes, what am I going to happen when I get old, when all this fear that keeps them from really being released to the greatest thing. How many people are in the passion, in the 2nd chakra? You know, they're looking for opposite sex, they're looking for, you know, passion, they're looking something to make them feel alive, you know. That is also the 2nd chakra. How many people are there? You can look at the world and say, wow, look at that. Most of the people in the 1st chakra, they're afraid of physiological needs, safety needs. The 2nd is a lot larger. Just tell how many people are on the power tree. Oh, we are better than you. We have a bigger gun than you guys. We can beat you up, you know, as fast as we can. Or the politically maneuver so we can checkmate you and so have dominance over you and all this and that. So we can see, wow, there's a lot of the shamanic people left. That they have already overcome their lower nature. No, very few. So we can see, no wonder, you know, that we are saying all these things to humanity, few people are listening to us. But the day of the reckoning is coming. The day of the payment is coming. The day of the sundering is now and here. And that is why we are here. We are sundering. We are separating the elect from those who will go through this terrible tribulation. And who knows how many millions of people are going to suffer or die and destruction which is coming. But if you are in the commons of life, if you come together and create an environment that is godly and God is in it, you have nothing to fear of what is coming. So, you can see the coming of the third chakra and coming to the fourth chakra is celebrated as Christ is celebrated, and he has the sharpest teaching among prophets, and therefore he is a great, you know, Messiah that came to humanity to release the grace to man. Of course, now you sacrifice, and after a while, things start happening, and you say, wow, look at me, I am doing this, that mission all depends upon me, you know, if I withdraw myself, the mission is going to fall apart. And I want to become the third person in this mission, I'm going to be the star, and all that, but, of course, if you look at it yourself, it doesn't, matter. It doesn't make any difference at all. Am I being pampered or not? The most important thing, I am a part of God's revelation. I'm a part of work, and I will do it, whatever needs to be done, the best I can in it, and then I am not attached to the result of my action. I surrendered the result to God and said, okay, I did it, God. Okay, I hope I get some result, but I'm not attached. It is your result, and I did it for you. Okay, next. Okay, they bring the next project. I'm going to do that, and all on and on. So after a while, you have 144,000 efficient, effective, egoless, absolutely submissive to God. Can we change the world? You better if we can. If we can create 144,000 people are absolutely letting God come through, they will be doing perfect jobs every time, and they will create an environment and a system that all humanity will look at and say, hey, look at this efficient organization, efficient people. They're absolutely free from every problem on earth. They're not afraid of their physiological and hate it because they live in the comes of light. They help each other. They become one body that they are not afraid of their physiological safety need not to be taken care of. But each of them realize that they have to bring into community as much as they can and take as little as they can. Therefore, that community is so much more and more prosperous, more and more strong, more and more powerful, and they have enough resources to reach integrated in degree. Therefore, the dedication and focus has to be on God and His revelation and the eternal divine path, 100%. But at the same time, look not for the result, not for the praise, not for the anything that external, but praise and perfection within yourself. Now, that's why I tell my son all the time, don't compete with anyone. Just compete with yourself. You don't have to compete with anyone at all, but to see what you do is perfect and you are doing great inside yourself. So there is no competition. You compete only with yourself and nobody else and nothing else. So we can see that is when Islam comes from. Islam comes from the word taslim, is to be surrendered and submit to God. Surrender means to surrender the result. Submit means let God come through you all the time. Of course, that's very difficult to remember God is coming through all the time. That's why anytime you forgot, you say, oh, okay, I forgot to let God come through. I surrender the result to God. Sorry. Okay, I'll try, you know, harder next time. And little by little, more and more, you will let God come through. And one day you realize, wow, look at that. I really don't exist. If really God exists, and I do not exist at all. And that is when that realization comes to you, then you say, oh, this is God. That is what you're talking about all this time, about God is everything, He comes through, He is really exists, I don't exist. Like that saying that I die in Christ every day, and Christ is more in me, and I am less in me. Therefore, when you recognize that, then you see really God is there, and you are one. Because that is why the fourth seal, the Sunnah submission, is the highest spiritual realization. If you become in the point that you see God truly doing it through you, do you exist anymore? No. You and God are one. Isn't the goal of life is to become one with God? As you recognize that He is always with you, you have accomplished the goal of life, the goal of the spiritual progress. You don't crave for power, you don't crave for recognizing little energies in being, but recognizing that God and me are one, and really, I am God. Okay. Of course, God is a big G. He's the creator. I didn't create this universe. I am a part of it. I am His image. He is in me. Okay. That is the message of Islam. The message of Islam is not, no, take a sword and cut up people's head off if you don't believe that what we believe in the Orthodox way. The message of Christianity is not that only Christ had the truth and Muhammad and Bob and nobody else had the truth, but it's a sacrifice. The message of Old Testament is not only Jews are the chosen people, but anybody who follows it and not going back and become divine, become a son of God, become a chosen person. The goal of the awakening of a spiritual person, the Hinduism, is not to just take a drop of the water falling into the ocean and become one with the ocean, and that is the goal of the life, and you forget about the suffering of everybody else. No, you have to create a comfort of life. Sacrifice for you, so you submit to God. Now, you did all that. Now, I'm one with God. I recognize that God comes through, but still, I feel, well, my community is better than that community. My religion is better than that religion. This part of the world is better than that part. And still, we have not recognized God completely. Okay? That's why it goes on and off. We believe that God is going through us, doing it through you, but then we forget. And we say, oh God, I forgot. Okay, I surrender. You see that it's going in and out of it, you know, recognizing that God and one. Till you really, when you recognize God is really you and God are one, that is when you realize God is everything. Then you see everybody as a part of God. You don't look at this, okay, this person is white, this person is black, this person is yellow, this one is red, this person from this language, that person from this, this is man, this is woman, this is, you know, all these categories that the human has created. So you can categorize you in the brain somewhere and say, okay, I categorize this person here, therefore I should expect this way. You look at them as God, part of God, and say, oh, he's a part of God, or she's a part of God. How godly he or she is, and that's how it is. The more they are godly, the more you love them, because you had a kinship with them. You have gone with the same thing, therefore you recognize and realize that you are one. So we can see that the next step becomes universality. To realize that God is everything. There is no separation between me and anything in the universe. Okay. Then you shatter all the norms of mind of I'm from here, I'm in gender, I'm this, you know, and that a categorized reference to this, all these little categories, and eventually you become separated from everybody else. You shatter that and you say, no, look at everybody as a part of God. When you do that, of course, you're absolutely free from any narrowness of mind, and you can deal with anybody in the world and teach them a similar divine path and make them progress in a greater degree. So, you can see, the first step is action of the spiritual forces. What religion did it cover? It covered Hinduism, Buddhism, all the mystical paths and the teachings that it says, know thyself, or see everything is God or is a part of God. It includes African and South American and shaman and bushman in Australia and anybody who knows that all religions are. The second step to create the kamasutra, create an environment that is godly, that everybody have enough to eat and receive and their physiological necessities have been taken care of. Therefore, they can concentrate on godly things and meditate and other kinds of spiritual forces. That is the message of the Old Testament. Old Testament, God is trying to find the people as the chosen people, and they will accept God as their God and they follow His law. The third step is the sacrifice for in order to get such environment. Sacrifice is necessary. That was the message of Christianity or Christ, that He came and went all the way to the cross, and He showed us for that idea you should be ready or willing to give everything necessary to create such a community and be the kingdom of an on earth. Therefore, nothing should be kept away from that goal of the creation of the Commons of Light, which is the base of the Kingdom of Heaven on Earth. Commons of Light is the base of the Kingdom of Heaven on Earth. Therefore, Christianity is the third seal in our revelation. Now, the next seal is surrendering and submission to God. I do all these things, I awaken my spiritual force, I create the Commons of Light, I will sacrifice for it, but I must attach to the result of my action. And not better than that, I let God come through all the time. And that is, of course, the message of Islam. Islam means surrendering and submission to God. With this, we absolutely overcome any ungodly part in ourselves, and we become one with God, and we eventually realize God exists. We do not. And then, of course, the next step becomes universalism. The eventual realization that God is there, you are not, is God is everything. If God is everything, how can I separate any part of the universe from any part of it? And that is the message of Baha'i and Babi's teaching, that what Baha'u'llah and Bab brought to humanity, that basically religions are the same. Of course, we know now, not really, that's not true, not they are not basically the same. Each of them has a specific message for humanity, but their view and the realization was God has sent all this revelation, therefore we should not separate them from between them. So with this revelation, all these religions have been unified. A path has been revealed to humanity. If you follow these five steps, you become an elect. You become an elect that God has been talking in every religion. My elect, they will inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. They are the elect. They are my people. They are the ones who follow my law, and that is what we are looking in this vision. That is what all this effort in these rooms, in the mission, in our literature, in website, in our outreach, in everything we do, that is the goal, to get this message to the elect, to the people who have been meditating and waiting for this realization. All their lives they're saying, I can be one God and so many religions. How can we separate this part from the other part? How come there is so many reasons and they're contradictory, and all of them they say to themselves the same God? Now we can understand very clearly that, oh yeah, there is only one God, and we're sending all the religions, and each of them had a message. Now we put them together, and that makes sense. These are the people who follow it and all the divine path. They awaken their spiritual forces. They meditate. They know themselves. They work for the Commons of Light very, very hard, but with joy. You know, if you are working for the Commons of Light and you don't have any joy for it, then you are not really, you know, an elect, and you're not really enjoying creating the Kingdom of Heaven on Earth. But you say, no, I work because, you know, I'm creating the Kingdom of Heaven on Earth, and with the complete joy and oneness with it, as you said, can. You know, you sacrifice, then you surrender and submit, and you become a universalist. Then you become a child of God. You become an Israelite. You become a child of light. Okay. And that is the sixth seal that brought with a gentleman from India by the name of P.R. Sarkar, or Baba, or Shri Shri Ananda Murthy, and he brought the concept of Savitra, which we have actually changed it to Paravitra, and that is the people who will understand our teaching, and also they are have the four class of the humanity and all that, we can read about that in our teaching. So if you follow the Sanat Dimankara, you will become an elect. If you want to become Paravipra, of course, you have to have other qualities. And all this teaching has been prophesied to come in as the seven seeds, as the seven revelation, as the book sealed with the seven seals. And of course, this mission is the mission who has it opened the book sealed with the seven seals. And the person who brought it also has fulfilled all the prophecies for his coming and bringing this revelation. Therefore, there is no doubt that this mission, this revelation is from God and has come to humanity to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. The only thing really left for us is to gather the elect. Everything else is happening around us very fast, very clearly is indicating that we are going toward that final marathon of God's plan. So you have come to the room that's calling you to become an elect, or you are an elect, and therefore come, understand the teaching, join us, reach out wherever you are, and if you can come to the community here in Albuquerque, in New Mexico, this is great, just drop everything and come. Don't hang into whatever info you have and say, no, I have to keep and bring all these things with me. You can't. If they are not elect, you cannot force them to go to heaven. Even I cannot take my family to heaven if they don't want to come to. I can't even take my son to heaven if he doesn't want to, or my wife, or, you know, whatever, you know. The only thing is you have been prepared for it. You have been meditating for it. Now you are ready to go there and this is the revelation. Now you know. Now you know that that's how God sent this revelation one by one to humanity, and now it is unified together as one revelation, and it shows the path to go to God and create the kingdom of heaven on earth, and it is perfect. No matter what problem you throw at this path, it will tell you how it will resolve it. We have done it here many times. We discussed many problems, and the conclusion always is, if you follow the eternal one path, if you create the commons of life, you will solve it. You will resolve it. That is the revelation that I explain to everyone every month, and we will reach to humanity in a greater degree. We are ready now to reach in any way possible, because the energy has accelerated, and we can see that our work also is going to be faster, and many things are going to happen in a much faster degree than before, and those who are not ready for it, they will stay behind and they will miss the train. So if you really are a part of God, a child of God, this is time to recognize that you have to really clean yourself and your being and get on with God's work and be in the train when it reaches the goal. Kiave, go ahead. Okay, Kiave, why don't you PM someone in the mission? Why don't you PM Ananda Ma, and she might come into the through microphone and tell us what the question is. And of course, she would know if the question is appropriate, so she can come. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
Thanks. My question is very simple. Are people still being reincarnated?
Yes, reincarnation is the part of God's way to justify his actions. If we do not believe, if you do not believe in reincarnation, then it's very hard to justify what God does and how God is just. If God gives humanity many times of, you know, chances to prove themselves, yes, they're godly and they want to follow God, and eventually they become an elect, then they have the right to, you know, go to God. But if many chances are given to a person and every time he or she will not progress, will not follow, will not become godly, will not, you know, go where he is supposed to go, of course God has all the right to say, sorry, I'm going to send another person, and you are not really following my ways, and therefore God is just. And we know God is just. Justness to God is one of the high priority. Therefore, the people are incarnated again and again, and that is actually based of the elect. That's why we look at the people as elect, as old souls, that they have been incarnated many, many lifetimes, and now they are ready for it. Yes, they are still incarnated. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
So what you're saying is a purifying process. If they should fail one lifetime, like for example, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if people know the way God works or not, but if a person is especially cruel to a blind person one life, would it be justified to say that in the next life, in order for God to teach them the lesson, that they may in fact be blind themselves?
Yeah, well, the person who is blind in this lifetime, maybe he misused his eyes for this lifetime and did a lot of seeing eye thing, and this lifetime God closed the eye completely, so he learns how not to use or misuse the eye. So he is justified to do that, and that is right, that is the process of purification, and also the process of sundering. If many lifetimes is given to you, but you're not, you know, progressing, God is justified to say you are not progressing. You're not going around trying to take you, therefore I will not incarnate you anymore, or you will be reincarnated in the places that you will learn your lesson. But it's very hard sometimes to know if a person is in a situation because of the karma, or is because of the unjust societies, or unequal distribution of the resources on earth, and all that. Therefore, that is why we believe that first of all, you have to create the just society, the kingdom of heaven on earth. Then if something bad happened to a person, that is the karma. So the karma is not a black and white thing. It has many reasons for it, and sometimes bad things happen to people, not because of karma, but because this unjust society exists. And it is not the justice of God, but unjustness of man. So we have to recognize that, and not to mix these two together.
Thanks. Because I was having a hard time, especially reading the Old Testament, when the Israelites were freed from Egypt, and God would have them warring with people who didn't necessarily meet up with the standards. A lot of people would be killed, and we would see in many instances that God did destroy a lot of his own Israelites. And this whole idea of reincarnation came to my mind as well. That's the case. My other question, if you can help me with it or not, because I'm a real big fan of Jesus, and from what I understood from my many readings, is that he left Israel when he was 13 to go perfect himself, and he went out east into places like India and so on and so forth in Asia, and studied Buddhism as well as Hinduism. Do you have any information on that, or can you agree on that? That he returned back to Israel at
29? Yes, actually, if you look at the Bible, there is no record between when he was 12 years old. The last record they have him from him is when he's 12 years old and he is arguing with the judges and the priests in front of the temple, and suddenly he vanishes, you know, from the Bible. There is no record of him, and suddenly he's baptized with John the Baptist when he's 30 years old. What happened between 12 and 30? The Bible is absolutely silent in that regard. But we know very well that he went to Egypt. He studied a mystery school in Egypt, and he left. He went to Persia. He studied with magis and learned from them. And then he went to India and learned from the Brahmins, and eventually from lamas in Himalayas and Tibet. And actually there is a monastery in India that they have a manuscript, an explanation that the Christ was with them around 2,000 years ago, and they have the record of his death and crucifixion in that place. Okay. of course, the Indians and Hindus and Lamas are very secretive, you know, societies, and they don't usually let in this information out easily. That's what this thing has been found, that Christ has been there. So between 12 to 29 or 30, he went and learned. That's why when he came to rabbis, he didn't teach Judaism. He said, me and the Father are one. It is absolutely Hinduism that says Atman and Atman are one. That is why the Jews testify. How can you and God be one? Okay, God, Yahweh is up there somewhere, you know, just like a Muslim. When the Sufis jump of joy and say, I'm Allah, or me and God are one, absolutely they become petrified. You know, how can you and God be one? And therefore they couldn't understand what he's talking about. But what he was talking about really was the teaching of Hinduism. Atman and Atman are one. It's very simple for them. If he had said in front of Hindus, me and the Father are one, they would say, okay, so are we. That would be the end of the story. Okay. But for Jews, it wasn't the same thing. So you can see that is true. He did study with the mystery school and Maggies and all those people. So he was very learned in mystical path and everything. Of course, he also received the revelation from God. And every prophet, if you study for a period of time in the beginning of their life, they are guided to study all these religions. Just like Christ did that. Muhammad, he was traveling. He was a master of caravan. So he would go with the caravan to different places, and he learned from all these religions, from the Christianity. Bob traveled a lot and learned a lot, went to, Iraq and all that. So all these people, myself, I came to the United States, you know, that was the period that all those people from India would come here and teach you guys how to meditate and transcendental meditation and Guru Maharaji. So absolutely, I got cut off in that flow and eventually joined the organization and started meditating and knowing. So every, prophet has gone through this realization and the study of all the scriptures and religions, and then, of course, God also gives them a revelation which is greater than what they knew before. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
Thank you. And I agree with you and the Mitra organization, because I've been doing a lot of reading on my own. My final question is this. In the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus was crucified for only 3 hours. He was taken down by Joseph of Arimathea, and he was embalmed with 100 pounds worth of aloes. And I believe, and I think quite a few other people believe, that he did survive the crucifixion, and there is information now saying that he's buried in Kashmir. Do you think this is possible? And this by no means has any way of diminishing his message to us. Like I said, to me, he's still the Messiah, he's awesome.
All right. Yeah. Actually, there are many groups that believe that he really wasn't crucified. He didn't die on the cross. Islam is one of them. You know, Prophet Muhammad says that he appeared to them that he died. Rosicrucians are another group that they don't believe he died. They believe that he was alive and they took him off and down the cross, and he actually guided his disciples for many years, and he died when it was actually older than 8 years old and all that. And so there are many groups believe that, and that could be a reason that they added this part in the Bible that the soldier hit him with the sword and there was water and blood came out of him, so he concluded that he's dead, and therefore they took him down from the cross. And so the Bible is trying, the people tried, because there was a lot of people believe that he didn't die, they added that to make everybody believe that he really died. So that is why his crucifixion and resurrection is not as important as his message. So that is why Christian wants to let you know, if you believe that he crucified and resurrected, he died for you, therefore you're saved, you don't have to do anything, and that is not God's way. You have to do something. You have to meditate. You have to have a spiritual force. You have to create a common self. You have to sacrifice. You have to become surrender and submit to God, and you become a spirit. But he released the grace. That is true. Christ released the grace. That is one of the most important parts of his mission, was the grace was taken away from humanity at the time of them. Adam and Eve was released by Christ. But that doesn't mean that you have to believe that he was crucified and was resurrected, but you have to believe that he was the Son of God and he was the Messiah. He brought the message of the sacrifice, and therefore you believe he is from God and a prophet of God or a Messiah. Therefore you will receive the grace of God. You know, because of that belief. Okay. So, crucifixion and resurrection is a very controversial topic, you know, and but the truth of it is that who cares? The more important is, what did he say? What was his message? What was he trying to convey to humanity? Why God sent him to humanity? His message was sacrifice. In order to create the comings of blood, you have to sacrifice. You have to change your way. You have to see God's way, not my way. Okay. So that is the answer to that. Go ahead to Anandama. What is Yahweh was saying? Go ahead.
Yahweh's question is it still possible for us to achieve peace and evolve from our current material world with our current spiritual practices?
Okay, the question is, can we reach peace and become less materialistic or godly in this world with the practices that exist today? Well, if they're working, why do we need a new revelation? If they're working, we should have peace and unity and kingdom on earth. Apparently, it is not working. It is not, something is wrong with them. It is not perfect. It is not the whole truth. It is not the whole revelation. It doesn't give you the whole picture. This revelation does. There is no other revelation or teaching on earth that is as perfect, as complete, as explaining and as releasing you from your lower nature as the Eternal One path and our teaching. So they might help you a little bit, but the greatest teaching, the greatest thing that helps you is the Eternal One path. This revelation. And that is why everybody who wants to progress to the greatest degree, they have to realize and recognize this teaching and follow the Eternal Divine Path. Every religion has some truth. All of them are great revelation from God, but they are a part of a greater truth. The whole is greater than the part. Mission is not just a part of this revelation, a part of this revelation, a part of this revelation. Therefore, it has a lot of parts put together. It is just like a body. So if you don't have a head, then you can't live. If you don't have legs, you can't walk. Okay. You have to have legs, head, hands, the stomach, heart, all of them together, then also life being put into you, then you start living and walking and talking and understanding and recognizing and thinking and all that. So all other religions are different parts of God's revelation and plan, and none of them can really exist separate from these last revelations that put them together. And of course the grace of God is the life in this body, and therefore by following it on the one path, you will receive the grace, and therefore it's easy for you to overcome the external world and material world, and you will progress toward God. So to answer your question, I don't think it's going to help if you stay with the old. You can stay with the old for a while if you want to, if you're attached to your religion, but at the same time understand this revelation and little by little accept other parts of this revelation and eventually become whole, and the only whole is holy. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
Is it possible that the Bible has been somewhat modified from its original state? You don't have to give me examples or anything like that, but there's some stuff that I find very difficult to comprehend or believe.
Your question about if it is possible that the Bible has changed, not that it's possible, but that is the truth. A human tried to change it, to modify it, to delete places that didn't relate to their ego. Very large example is reincarnation. They tried everything possible to take the concept of reincarnation out of the Bible, because it is easier to dominate people or to bring them to their fold of organization or a religious group if the people don't believe in reincarnation. That is it. You have this lifetime. We know the answer. If you don't listen, you go to hell. And that's it. You know? That is pretty scary. I better listen to these people. You know, they know what they're talking about. Okay. If I don't listen, I'm bound to hell. Okay, so it's been very hardly worked on taking reincarnation out. But you can see, even in that, they did not succeed. Bible clearly says John the Baptist is Elijah. And if John the Baptist was born from a woman, Martha, well, how then can you explain that any other way, that he was the reincarnation of Elijah? If human thinks are very smart, but God is smarter than human. So he left that right there, and anybody says, no, there is no reincarnation. They look, here it is. Right in your Bible, it says John the Baptist is, you know, Elijah. How can you explain this? Of course, I've seen them trying to explain it is the same experience of Elijah, but there is no way that Elijah comes and John the Baptist through Martha until he was the reincarnation of Elijah. This is the only way you can explain it. So you're right, the Bible has been changed. Actually, that is the very theme of Quran. That's one of the things Prophet Muhammad emphasizes over and over, that they have changed the scripture. The scripture has been changed and modified, and therefore he brings the truth of what's already been changed back to humanity, and therefore he believes what Quran says is superior to what is in the Bible, because Quran corrects what has been changed. And also, if you look at our teaching, I did not write commentaries in every part of the Bible, only written for the most part that is not been modified and changed, and there are, but still there's a lot of truth left. As I said, God did not let the truth go away, and of course, the truth also is stored in Akashic records, and when the prophet comes, God reveals those truths back to humanity through that Akashic record, and that prophet, as Prophet Muhammad, brought many stories that deeper than what they had. Therefore, you can see God is smarter than man, and man eventually have to realize that they can beat him in his game. Okay? Therefore, they better surrender and submissive to what God says, and reincarnation is, you know, very, very true, and many things in the Bible is been changed. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
Thanks very much. Like I said, I've been reading a lot, and I'm coming in line to what you're believing independently. I was very surprised to find your website just a couple of days ago, but I believe what you say is the truth. I got up that quote from Matthew where Jesus says, well, if you're willing to accept that John the Baptist is Elijah sent back again, and the only explanation they could counter was one from Luke, where it was Luke's interpretation that John was, that he wasn't reincarnated. But then anyways, they used Luke's word, not Christ's word, so thanks anyways for clearing that up. One more question. In the Old Testament, God is the cosmos cause. He causes everybody to be rich. He also causes everyone to be poor. And all the decisions are upon God. Whereas in the New Testament, Jesus is warning people of the devil. But is the devil an actual personified angel, or is the devil within us?
The devil is our lower nature. It is our tendency in the lower nature that make us to fall for what the world offers us. The devil is Maya. The devil is the attraction to the external world. The devil is the illusion of separation from God. If you are separated from God, you are in an illusion that you are not one with God. Therefore, this world is the only truth and the only reality, and therefore you fall for physiological anxiety, you fall for the passion part of the second chakra, you strive for the earthly powers, and therefore that's what the devil does. Devil tempts, doesn't it? Devil is a tempter. If your lower chakra is clean, if you have overcome your lower chakra, are you get tempted? Can devil tempt you with something that you have no tendency left in you? You can see, you have to have the tendency for the devil to be able to tempt you. If there's no tendency in you, you have overcome it, therefore devil has no power over you. He is not a person, it is a quality of human being, and when you fall for temptation, you fall on earth, you fall to lower naked, you fall to hell, and that is when the hell is. Hell is the illusion of separation from God. When you are not one God, you are in hell. Hell is not a place. It's not a place like up there that you, after you die, you go to it. You are either in hell here and now, or you are in heaven here and now. And the only way is, if you are in lower nature, you fall for earthly things, you fall for Maya, they take you away from God, and therefore you fall into hell. And if you are godly, you purify your lower nature, you have no desire or tendency left in your lower nature, you don't follow for this world, and therefore the tempter cannot tempt you, and therefore devil does not exist for you. They say there is three angels, Lucifer, a devil, Michael, and Gabriel. That three angels actually are three forces in the universe, and these three forces are explaining our teaching very clearly. The Gabriel is Sattva, he is freeing, is loosening our lower nature or our tendencies. The Michael is Raja, is action, and Lucifer is Tama, or crucifying force that makes us become less and less godly and more self-centered. And therefore, because Lucifer is used to create the creation and also purifies our being, and we fall for the temptation of the world, therefore you can see the very Lucifer, which is the shining light, become the devil, which takes you to the world and takes you to hell. But if you realize how this tamaguna works, it becomes a shining star. You don't follow for this world. You realize this world is not ultimate. It's a temporary thing. It is not an absolute thing. The absolute is only God. Everything else is temporary. Therefore, you don't fall for it, and the devil has no power over you. So if you recognize and realize that, you can even see the explanation of the Judeo-Christian Islamic Baha'i teachings about the devil makes sense now very clearly in our teachings. Go ahead, Ma.
Thank you, Maitreya. Giave is asking, can truth be found in indigenous peoples, myths, and legends?
The legends and all the things that has come to us from people and ancient people and in every culture, there are some truth in them. They have been created to convey a message to humanity, and they, it depends what their story is or what they are explaining. But indigenous people mostly have the teaching of the first seal, awaken up your spiritual persons, knowing thyself, seeing God is everything and every part of the universe, and they have great realization, great teaching, and great wisdom. Okay, but they also have to be open to the other revelation from God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran, and the Baha'i teaching. Then their teaching become much more enriched, and in a greater degree they can follow the eternal divine path, and they will have a great grip of the truth that God has revealed to humanity and foretold will be sending to man. So although they have great teaching and very great realization, they will be enhanced by understanding our teachings. Go ahead, Luke.
Shalom, Maitreya. And two questions. The first question is about the lower nature. So Esau, when he went in the desert, that was a fight he was having with his lower nature. Is that correct?
Exactly. What is the first thing that devil offers him? Bread. He says, if you are the son of God, tell this stone to become bread, it should become bread. What is the first chakra? The physiological and safety in it. it has to bread to your sustenance in life, okay? That is where most of the people are stuck. They're afraid of the physiological and safety needs, and that is where they mostly are. If you are thinking about when my next meal comes, and I'm afraid what's going to happen to me when I'm getting old, and you're not thinking about the comings of light and sacrificing and surrendering submission and become godly and create the kingdom of heaven on earth. Say, what is it in for me? I want to be comfortable. I want to have enough. I, and therefore you follow into that trap. So the best thing the devil offers is to make this some bread, and Christ realizes right away, because he's been meditating many lifetimes, you don't live with bread alone, but it's every word of God. He's in your heart naked. He says, my bread is going to come. You know? And later on he says what? He who does the will of God deserve to receive his physiological safety need easily. It's going to come to you. He doesn't have to work very hard for it. But the second temptation is tempting God is if he puts him in a very high place in the temple and says, okay, God says if you make Joseph fall to the ground, the angel is going to help you and you're not going to crash to the ground. And he says, you know, you should not tempt God. But that is the temptation come from the sacred chakra. You say, really, if I do this thing, is really God's going to see me? You know, I'm going to do whatever I want. You know, God is not there. You're tempting God to see, really, is he going to do that? So that's the second chakra. The third chakra says, God, worship me and you can have the whole world. Mm-hmm. That is what? That's a political power, earthly power. And where does that come from? That is the third chakra. So as you can see, absolutely it is the lower nature. One by one, the devil is tempting you according to the tendency of each chakra, and if you have those tendencies, you will fall for the offer of the devil, which is your lower nature. It's not a being that out there sitting and tempting you. So if you overcome the temptation of fear of physiological necessity, if you stop tempting God and asking God really exists and realizes that he really does, and if you're not attracted to the earthly powers, then you have overcome your lower nature. So your question answer is yes, lower nature is the tendencies of the lower nature. Christ was tempted with his lower nature. Go ahead, Luke.
I had a vision that where I saw you in the vision and I came to you to be initiated, and you put your hand on my head and you were repeating something in Sanskrit that I did not understand, but because I was so giggling and elated, you know, what exactly does that mean?
Well, it means that you should get initiated. It means that you should get involved with the mission more. It means that you should just start reading in the room and help out with the mission. God is calling you, you know, and if you do that, then I might initiate you and I'll tell you the word that you cannot know until I reveal it to you and you are initiated. So get on with the work, get on with the mission, start doing things, helping out, come to the room. So the whole idea is, sound like you have been called and you are resisting the call because you've been to in our room many times. You have been here for a year or so and you are not getting involved. Sound like it that God is giving you a message, hey, get on with it. That's enough just beating around the bush. It is time to get involved and get to the mission and do it. Go ahead, Anandama.
I have another question from Kayave. He says, how can we unite churches being all religions, all world religions, if they do not talk to each other?
Well, that is why they have the tribulation is coming. That is why, that as I said, if everybody talks to each other, you know, everybody understood this revelation that came to them, we're going to have peace tomorrow. We're going to have the kingdom tomorrow. The reason this tribulation and all this destruction is going to come to them, because they're not listening to each other. They're not seeing God in every being and humanity. They are separating themselves with race, with nationality, with gender, with everything they can think about, you know, that we are different than you. We are better than you. We are no good. We are This is the ego trick. That is the ego is that most of the religion and revelation and the people who present God, they are in their ego trick more than in God trick. That's why they create these separations between humans, and that is when the destruction comes, and that is what we are going to go through this destruction period, unfortunately, because they're not listening to each other. After going through destruction, after gathering of the elect, after creating the facilitating body, after bringing an organization that is based on God the Spirit, eventually humans will reach a point they say, yes, we need a new heaven and earth, we need a new way of thinking, we need the kingdom of heaven on earth. And that is when we are ready. We are getting ready for an ultimate, you know, manifestation of God's plan on earth, and we don't have anything like this on earth at all. No one has this, and eventually those who are not listening to each other or the resisting God's plan will see clearly that the way they are going is the way of destruction, not of themselves, but of the whole earth. Actually, there is a great shift of power coming to humanity, and we will see pretty soon that Europe will emerge as the superpower on earth, and then is the time that the great destruction will come. They might bring peace for a while, but it's not going to last for a long time, and the alignment between many, many nations are already in progress, and we will see that a great thing is going to start happening, you know, pretty soon. So, do you want to escape the destruction? Do you want to escape the coming of the tribulation? Join the mission. Create the common supply. Reach out. Come and join us. Come and create more and more. Spread this message. Give it to every person you know. If you're an indigenous person, talk with your elders and your community. You know, tell them to come and join us. And if you are a person, tell your friends, your family, your anybody you know, start the room in the garage, preach more, whatever you know about the mission, and tell them, you know, just reach out and let's get every human hear this message at least once, and therefore we are done with them. When you give this message to anybody, you are done. It's between them and God. If they start the vision, then they can come and join into it. Yes, you are correct, they will not become one at this time, but God has a plan and is working toward that plan, and that plan is revealed in the Mishnah Maitreya. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
Have you ever had an opportunity to read the Ukrainian Gospel of Jesus in Christ? And if you did, can you please tell me what you think of it?
Yes, I have read that book. It has many truths in it, especially the part about the traveling of the Christ around and learning about the teaching of Egypt and Persia and India and Tibet has a lot of truth in it. It's based on the coming of the Aquarius Age. It's not completely based on the scriptures and the Word of God, but the people who have wrote it, they have brought a very good point on the realization to humanity. Of course, that is not the only book or not the only source that you will receive this information, but that is a very good source to just look what happened to Christ between 12 and 30 years of age. And that explains it very, very good. But of course, it is more than that. So it is a good book for expanding your, you know, I think actually we have in our library here in the mission that book that, you know, people can read it. And usually the book we have in the library, they are the ones that help you to understand the mission in a greater degree. So this is it has a lot of truth in it. But take everything with a grain of salt when you are in the mission of my job. You can read everything you want, actually in quality work to read, but always look to see when they fall in the only one path, when they fall in the God's revelation, why this has come to humanity, to show humanity that a lot of things is not covered about, you know, Christ's life. Yeah. God's love is more than what is presented to humanity. Yes, it's a good book. It's recommended to read it, but it is not the ultimate truth. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
All right, I got to ask this question. It's been bugging me for a long time. It's about the Shroud of Turin. Even though it hasn't been conclusively proven that it was Jesus' shroud, I believe it is. What do you think about that?
Again, it's the same answer as crucifixion and resurrection. Who cares? But why is it so important if it was an issue out or not? The most important is, what did Christ said? What was he teaching? What was he trying to convey to humanity? And that is why humans have to realize and recognize these are all an ego trip. This is Sharao. We have it. We got the first thing. Therefore, we are great. He was here. He died. He put an imprint on the Sharao. And therefore, it is great. We are going to just worship the Sharao and do whatever we want. No, we're not going to follow God's ways or Ten Commandments or doing these kingdom and godly things on earth, but we have to show up, you know. So we can see all these things are not important. Those things, none of these are important but the Word of God. You are saved by the Word of God. You are not saved by the show of Christ, are you? Is there anything in the Bible or the Word of God says, if you have to show up, you're saved? No, you are saved by the Word of God. Therefore, see what His Word was. What did Christ say? What was His message for humanity? Okay. So all this fighting, well, I found the Shroud. There was a burial box they found in Israel, and they said, yeah, this belongs to the brother of Christ, and they made a big deal out of it and all that. Who cares? Why is it so important? Why is it all or not? Does it help me to understand Christ better? Does it help me to understand His Word, His mission, and God's revelation? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any difference. You know? Therefore, we have to recognize and realize the deeper truth and not get bogged down with this little thing that is absolutely related to our ego, and therefore it keeps us from seeing the truth in a deeper level. So, just forget about all those little things and get on with the meaning of the Word of God's revelation, and that is in law. This is revealed what this means by sending Christ. Okay? And that is more important than thousands of shrouds or billions of the burial boxes. You know? That is more important than resurrection and crucifixion. What was the Word of Christ? What was the Word of Muhammad? What was the Word of Moses? What's the Old Testament? What's the New Testament? What is God is trying to do? When the destruction comes, when this world is reached a point that has to be dissolved, the shroud will be dissolved with it. That box will dissolve with it. Because all the statues are going to be dissolved with it. So, the most important is the Word of God, His revelation, and following His will. Go ahead, Mr. Disk.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your time. It's excellent. I'm going to be sure to come back here to visit you guys on many occasions. I just got to leave right now, but thank you very much.
Sure. The better than that is get involved with the mission. Come and join and help. I hope you will do that. And you're welcome to come back anytime you want. Oh, go ahead, Anandama.
Kiave is asking, can you comment on what we are seeing in the heavens, the comet heading for the sun, planetary events, alignments, and things of that nature?
Sure, those things all have effect on human psychology and social alignment and political systems. Everything happens in the universe. It happens for a reason. But of course, you know, we know for sure, even if nothing would have happened, according to God's revelation and the scripture, we are at the end time. We are at the time of the reckoning and tribulation and destruction. These are all sound so bad. Okay? We say, we don't want the tribulation, we want the destruction. But there is a great hope given to us at the same time. The kingdom of God is coming. Be prepared. Okay, yourself, that we will have great news after this destruction. There is great kingdom of God on earth based on the eternal divine path and the comings of light. So we have to rejoice, actually, this is coming and happening because, first of all, we know we are saved. because you are following the Dhanavadi Mantra. We are the Kama Supply. We have the last revelation. We have been called for. We came here. We saw it. We accepted it. We know it. Therefore, we are safe from all this tribulation and destruction. We are not part of it. But after destruction, we will be the people. They will have the kingdom on earth and great joy and beauty for 1,000 years. We rule earth. Okay. Therefore, we can see that is more important. The revelation and the foretelling of all these things by God, who controls the planet? God does. Who made them to align? God did. So God is giving you a sign also that yes, the planets are aligned, and also you can see the comets and all these things happening to probably strengthen the people who need that kind of a sign. But if you know the revelation, if you know the teaching, if you see really the books with the seven cities open and we are in the last leg of the God's plan, all those things are just a small portion of part of what is happening. So what is happening? Yes, there are signs all over, but we do not follow those signs. We follow the Word of God. And the Word of God says, yes, we have the last revelation. We have the book open with the seven seals. We are having the kingdom coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is coming. The kingdom of God is coming to earth very, very fast. And it's accelerated every day, and it will be accelerated in a greater degree as we approach the final stage of His plan. So yes, there is a sign in what is happening on the space, but greater than that is the Word of God. The Word of God is the most important part of our understanding of Him and His way. When you first come to the mission, you have your own ideas, your understandings, and when you ask a question, you receive the truth. It might not exactly be what you were looking for, but if you stay with the mission, with the truth, eventually the truth of these words is revealed to you in a greater degree. So we have our own human ideas, and we want God's revelation to be the same as what we think it should be. But God's revelation is the truth of His Spirit, and then come through the revealer, the revealer has no choice but to say the truth. And if it hits the soul and it's accepted, great. But if it's not exactly what you expected, the answer be, don't run away. Stay around, and the truth will be revealed to you eventually. We have come to the end of our satsang today. I will be here again next month, the first Saturday of the next month, whenever that is, and we will again continue preaching these words and these truths and these revelations. And those who have come to the mission, see the vision, see the truth, you have been called for. If you have seen the vision, if you like what the mission sees and teaches, and you have realized that is it, it is from God, and this is the right revelation of God, and the tribulation and the kingdom will come, therefore you will realize that you have to become a part of it and help God and His plan. That's what God says. You know them by the fruit. If you just love the mission but you don't get any fruit, God says, I don't know you. Sorry, yes, you saw the vision, you love the vision, but you're not giving any fruit. You know them by their fruit. Fruit means action, manifestation. It doesn't say you know them by their word, by claim, by their understanding, by their vision, their dreams, or whatever. None of them. God says, I know you. Oh, you had this vision, oh, you had your dream. I know you. He doesn't say that. He says, I know you by your fruit. So if you give fruit, God knows you. If you don't give fruit, God doesn't know you. So the word of God is very clear, very powerful, very right to the point, and human tries to go all over the place looking for so many different wrong things but the word of God. If you want to have a strong grip in the reality of God's way, listen to His words. That is the most important thing. I leave you all with that last word, and I wish you have a very God month, which means good month, because if you're God, it's God month, it's a good month. If it's God, it's good. And I'll see you all in March 1st next month, and I will see you all then, hopefully. Go preach this to everyone, reveal to every human, and tell them the good news. God's last revelation has come. God's last prophet is here. And bring them together. Let create thousands of companies of light all over the earth and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. The more we create companies of light, the less tribulation will be on earth. Thank you.